there's no one on the earth I would rather break it down with right now than Carolina Panthers beat reporter for The Athletic. You can get all of his quality, stellar, outstanding Panthers content on The Athletic website and app. He is the Great Joe Person. Joe, welcome back to the show, buddy.
What's going on, my man?
Just working through some things today. Just trying to figure out where my head is with this team. So we've played in today's show Matt Rhule talking about the 4th-and-1 call after the game. And then we played his comments yesterday when he spoke to the media for his Monday morning press conference. If we put it all together, him at first seemingly blaming Cam Newton and then kind of taking a bigger picture approach yesterday, what are your big takeaways from the way he handled that specific question about that specific play over the last 72 hours?
You know, I didn't have that big of a problem with it. I know I saw a lot of people about him throwing Cam under the bus. I get it. I mean, he was pretty critical on specific plays where Sam Darnold and P.J. Walker were concerned, too. I mean, I feel like that's just sort of Rhule's approach. I think the argument is, should he be throwing anyone under the bus? And, you know, I don't know. I mean, different guys do it differently. Ron Rivera would always sort of refrain from that. Certainly, I think, players probably don't like getting called out. And so, yeah, I mean, he walked it back some. I mean, it was pretty complex. I asked him about it at the start of that press conference, and it was it didn't quite rival Cooper Kupp's meme-grabbing explanation from a week before in the Rams game. But I think Matt's point, Rhule's point yesterday, too, that got lost in it a little bit, too, is how they identified who they were treating as the Mike linebacker. And I know we're getting way inside football here. Bottom line, you know, he walked it back. He said a lot of nice things about Cam Newton. I think Matt Rhule is cognizant, or maybe his handlers at the Panthers were cognizant of the fact that, you know, it's one thing if you're winning and you're being a little ultra critical, but you got to be careful. You're going to lose this locker room, and that's the last thing he needs with a season that is already spiraling quickly down the tubes.
Joe, looking specifically at the game on Sunday, moving past that play and looking at the overall result, 31-14, the Panthers, I believe it is their fourth double-digit loss in the last 7 games, if I'm remembering off the top of my head here.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you place the blame for Sunday's loss specifically?
I think it goes all the way through the organization. I mean, we can sit here and pinpoint this play or that play, but this team, as we look back at it now, especially with an injured Christian McCaffrey, just hasn't been very well constructed, certainly from an offensive standpoint. And the defense has started to show some of its warts, I think, in the secondary, especially when Dante Jackson got injured. I think Stephon Gilmore, he took him so long to get back up to speed. And we're seeing breakdowns in the secondary. That said, you know this, man, that the warts are on the offensive side of the football. Pass protection's been terrible all year. This is what I felt watching that offense on Sunday. And I really think this is just the reality of where the Panthers are now without Christian McCaffrey and with a 32-year-old Cam Newton. Their best chance of winning that game was to kind of play keep away, keep the ball away from Josh Allen, run the football, use Cam effectively in the run game. They did all that. Short passing game, they did to some degree. But at some point, Nick, to beat a high-powered offense like the Bills, you've got to take some shots and make some shots down the field. You can't, even without the field goals. And I called Matt on that, Rhule on that. He was like, well, a couple field goals, we didn't have our kicker, we would have had 20. I was like, well, you're not beating that team with field goals, right? And he's like, oh, no, no. They just don't have it. It is dink and dunk city. And that might beat the Falcons. It didn't the week before, but it could have. It isn't beating the Bills, and it's probably not beating the Bucks either, you know, unless Tampa Bay has all these guys still out. And even then, maybe not.
Joe Person, Carolina Panthers reporter for The Athletic here with Nick Wilson on a Panther Tuesday. We didn't have shows yesterday, so it's a Panther Tuesday, which is like a Panther Monday, but on Tuesdays. Joe, with all of this, with Matt Rhule continuing to say things that in the press conference maybe don't go the way I think he planned it or the way maybe they would want it to go, should we read anything into, given that the team has lost 9 of 11 games, Dave Tepper's silence?
You know, yeah, I mean, I think it's a valid question. And Tepper doesn't talk a lot. I mean, really, since over the past calendar year, we got him, or over the last 12 months, I should say, we talked to him when they fired Marty Herney, which is around this time a year ago. And that was when it was, he made it very clear that Teddy Bridgewater was not going to be the answer moving forward. There was an event at Rock Hill over the spring or summer where he and his wife, Nicole, were dedicating a new park where they gave a bunch of money. We spoke to him there. To my knowledge, those were the only two times. So there, it's not like he has a history. He's not Jerry Jones pontificating in the locker room every Sunday after a game. So, yeah, I mean, but it feels like this is a franchise where somebody needs to say something. If, in fact, they have decided they're going to keep Matt Rhule. And everything I keep hearing is still that Rhule is probably safe. But, man, you mentioned the numbers. 9 out of 11, I guess it is, right? And perhaps going quickly toward 12 out of 14. And that is going to try any owner's patience, especially one like Tepper, who we've seen has a real history of kind of some knee-jerk reactions. You know, one season with Teddy, boom, done. We got Sam Darnold hurt for 6 weeks. Let's go get Cam Newton. Matt Rhule be in trouble? Yeah, absolutely. My sense is right now that he's seemingly safe, but I wouldn't want to be Matt Rhule, you know, banking on that if this team loses out, which is, as you know, a very real possibility.
Joe, looking to this Tampa Bay game, what would a win over Tampa mean for Matt Rhule and the organization?
I think it'd be huge. I mean, even listen, we saw them the other night. We saw the Bucs. They were a different team without, you know, Evans and Godwin, and I guess that Fournette got hurt in that game, I think, right? There's a different offense, and even saying all that, if they come in here banged up again, and I know Godwin's out for the season, but if they continue to be, you take that win and you stick it in your pipe and you hang it on your wall like a pelt, because that's something you can point to. That's something you can say in the locker room. All this talk about process and brand that sometimes feels like hot air, well, it translated into something today. We just, you know, sacked Tom Brady 4 times and we beat the Bucs. Whatever the case may be. I know there's going to be a lot of listeners and a lot of our readers like, oh, well, yeah, great. You just screwed up, you know, maybe your draft positioning. You know, they're probably not going to be a top 5 pick anyway. If they go from 7 to 8, whatever. I think this team is in dire need of some sort of franchise rallying win, and I can't think of a better one than Tampa Bay on Christmas weekend.
Joe Person, Panthers beat reporter for The Athletic, with Nick Wilson here talking the Panthers, the state of the Panthers organization. We haven't really talked enough quarterback thus far, probably because I don't really want to have that conversation, but I'm curious. Does Sam Darnold start when he is deemed healthy? Is it that simple for Carolina?
It's certainly on the table. I do know that. I mean, and it's just, I think, one, how effective can he be? We saw him obviously go way sideways after that pretty promising start for Darnold. You know, how quickly can, you know, who knows what you're going to get with him now 6 weeks later? I mean, but yeah, I'd actually be surprised if we don't see Sam Darnold again over the next 3 weeks. Is it this week? I don't know. I mean, I think Matt Rhule and his handlers, I hate using that word, but folks in the building, let me say, they understand that the Cam stuff is kind of a live wire, just, you know, very polarizing subject. They want to, you know, they brought Cam in here. It was supposed to be his team. And I know he's gotten an opportunity. But I they're cognizant of that. Will it affect their decision who starts on Sunday? I don't know. But I would be very surprised if we don't see Darnold starting a game sometime over one of these last three games, or maybe two of these last three games.
Joe, from the quarterback spot to the offensive line play, Brady Christensen did not get the start this week. Despite getting some playing time recently here, Matt Rhule saying yesterday he expects him to be a starter for us for a long time here. Why aren't the Panthers taking an extended look at either Brady Christensen or Deonte Brown right now? Do we know that?
This goes back to your earlier question, Nick, about Rhule, you know, maybe feeling still some uncertainty if no one has told him, hey, remember – I don't think you were in Charlotte, but in 2013, Ron Rivera's third season here, he'd had back-to-back kind of crummy years. They were off to a crummy start in Cam and Ron's third season, and there was already all this talk that we're having right now. And he came out at a press conference, and he said, as this was like, say, early October, he said, and there were already a lot of talk about Rivera's future. He said, Mr. Richardson, which they all called Jerry that, has said, I could say this publicly, he has given me assurance that I'm good. He's not going to get rid of me. I've got this season at least. And off they go to the start of three straight consecutive playoff berths. We hadn't heard that from Rhule. Maybe the conversations happen, but unless and until it does, Matt Rhule wants to put what he feels is the best lineup that gives him the chance to win every Sunday. And in his mind, and in the mind of Pat Meyer, the offensive line coach, presumably, that does not include Brady Christensen and Deonte Brown. We can argue whether that's, you know, and if he got some assurance, he might do it differently and say, let's roll with these rookies and see what they got. But I think until then, he's going to try to win, you know, these games and not worry about the development of these offensive linemen until, and he hopes, next March or April during OTA.